Coming up on show 985, Ford increases the Mustang Mach-E production and deliveries. It's a slow start, but they're on their way. Also on the podcast today, we talk BMW i7, Rivian's Amazon delivery van now out in the wild, and Tesla's supercharger production facility. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Saturday, 6th of February. My name is Martin Lee. I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Spy photos have shown the BMW i7, and we're going to have a look at it as the first item on today's podcast. It's all electric. It's a low-slung sedan. It's undergoing extensive testing. By the look of it, the camouflage and cladding have hidden a model that's expected to resemble a petrol-powered sibling. Though surprises aren't really expected from BMW. They're not going to go wacky with the styling. But one area BMW could surprise and excite is with the i7's output. Now, the company hasn't made anything yet official, and likely won't do until the car gets its official reveal, though. A new Auto Build report saying that the targets for the sedan are 650 horsepower, according to Motor One. The report also notes the German automaker will offer a 120 kilowatt-hour battery. Now, that gives the saloon sedan a range of 700 kilometres or 434 miles on the European WLTP test cycle. Also in this report is mention of a less powerful variant, so you will be able to choose your battery size, this one with a 80 kilowatt-hour battery. Now, BMW not expected to reveal it until sometime, well, probably next year, actually. It's arriving as a 2023 model year, so you're looking at the end of 2022 before this arrives, so an 18-month wait for this. What's it going to compete with? Well, Mercedes-Benz EQS. That'll be coming with a high-performance AMG version. All of these Mercedes-Benz are going to have a high-performance AMG version. If not purebred AMG, then certainly with some styling from AMG, a sort of, you know, half-hot version. And I think the same for BMW with their M-badged versions as well. Now, of course, if you get an M version of a BMW, there's different versions of how hot that is, whether it's like a pure M version or whether it's, you know, got some styling tweaks and some, you know, extra stuff they charge you more for. The i7 with its 650 horsepower will be pretty potent to begin with, but if the i7 does come with an M version, then looking forward to seeing how that competes with Tesla's Model S and their latest innovations there as well. Of course, all of these high-end cars are going to come with safety features and self-driving technologies that are all best in class as well. And something that the German automakers do pretty well is putting the cars together. So expect them to ride fantastically and to just be bolted together, you know, very well. But we are talking about some real high-end stuff here with the BMW i7. So that one, stick it on your back burner. We'll come back to it when we got some more news. Headline story today, Ford announcing that its US production and sales results for the month of January are now in, and the ramp-up of the Mustang Mach-E is progressing. Well, Ford delivered to customers 238 of the Mach-E, and that's combined with the first three in December. You heard me correctly, the first three gives a total of 241 now delivered, guessing that February and March easily in four digits. According to Inside EVs on the production front, the volume is indeed an order of magnitude higher as that ramp now kicks in. In January alone, they made over 4,250 of the Mach-E, of course, not delivered. The cumulative production is now 11,000, taking into account the other markets as well. Now, we are getting the Mach-E here in Europe. An important piece of information also, the number of cars delivered to dealers has increased. That's around 5,000. So, although only 241 in customers' hands as of the end of January, plenty of press cars out there, plenty of dealer cars, and we do think February and March, those customer deliveries will ramp up very quickly. The Mustang Mach-E got its first set of reviews over the last few weeks as well. I wouldn't say that everybody has been effusive with praise, but I would say that on balance, I think the general tone of all the reviews has been very, very good. And of course, everyone inevitably compares them to Teslas and Polestars, and it holds its own very well. If there is one common thread that I'm picking up, particularly from the proper EV reviewers, not the kind of Now, I don't mean to do anyone a disservice in terms of how they review a car. Totally up to them. But, you know, the people who review it who know what they're talking about in terms of the EV side. People saying the charging needs a tweak on the software and that the peak charge speeds are both not very good and that it ramps down very, very early and very, very quickly. Meaning, actually, it's a bit of a painful experience to DC rapid charge this. But that can be fixed over the air. That can be fixed with software. It can be fixed as they get more data coming in. Again, this has been a car that's been developed through a COVID year, and I don't know how much testing was skipped, if any, but it's one of those things that you'd like the car to be right from day one, but it's not exactly a beta car, but no doubt Ford will improve that and improve it quickly as well as they get more data sent back to them by those connected cars. Next, Rivian are in the news, not for their truck, the R1T, or their SUV, the R1S, but no, their investment from Amazon and the 100,000 vans they're making for Amazon. Rivian's begun production of their Amazon vans alongside the R1S and the R1T. The first vehicles actually on the road and driving around and in the hands of customers are not their trucks and SUVs. It is the delivery vans they've built for Amazon, officially now driving your Amazon orders to your front door with all electric vans. And it's great because these YouTube videos are hitting the internet now. The safety noise, in other words, the little speaker that emits the I am here noise, it's pretty offensive. I won't play it to you on this podcast because, you know, I haven't filmed it myself. I haven't got copyright for that. I know people play fast and loose with the internet, but I'd like to be respectful. But if you a quick search and you'll find it. According to CarBuzz, the vans will be a common sight on our roads very soon because of Amazon's 100,000 order of them. You know, one of the details left out a lot of the times when people cover this story and talk about Amazon's 100K order, that is over 10 years. So, you know, it's now the beginning of 2021. Well, it's by 2030, so that's over 9 years. If it's a straight line, it's, you know, 12,000 odd a year if it's a straight line, and there may be a ramp up. So that's actually not that many per year, but it's great. Series production of the vehicle is starting sometime soon. We don't know how many that Amazon are already making use of. Could just be a handful, of course. When you see them, they're distinctive. They get filmed, they get put online, which is why we're reporting it now. The electric deliveries have started in Los Angeles, but 15 more cities will be introduced this year. Next, Tesla's Shanghai Supercharger production plant has gone online. Yes, we're not talking about the actual supercharger stations, of which there are many in China, but where the things are going to be made. The company announcing today that it would begin producing superchargers in Shanghai at a dedicated plant. That announcement came on November 5th last year, and that was all with the intention of widening the availability of their charging infrastructure in the country, says Teslarati. 2 months later, since the announcement, the plant is online and making the charging station. I think just for the Chinese market for now. Tesla did state the project was officially done since August. The announcement was November, but really 5 months since they started building that plant. Tesla said, "Today, with the strong support of Shanghai's government at all levels and Tesla's rapid advancement, the Shanghai supercharging pile factory," because in China they call them piles, was an unfortunate name, "officially completed and put into production, representing the industry's third generation supercharging pile." Yes, Elon's onto his third generation of piles now, officially rolling off the production line. Talk about a company that continues to vertically integrate about everything they can. The cells, they're going to be making they are making their own ones. The seats, you could just buy the seats in. Be easy, wouldn't it? Just buy. Look, it's a seat. Buy it in. They make it themselves. The actual superchargers, they make it themselves. And that's an interesting thing that I'd add my comment to this about Tesla's charging. And they make the cars themselves. They write all of the software in the cars themselves. They make the charging, the chargers, the actual hardware, the plastic and the metal. They make it themselves. They write the software on which those chargers run themselves. So when you look at it from the point of everybody else, there are numerous car makers all buying in numerous bits. So the inverters, the motors, the BMS, the software, bringing in numerous software developers, some external, some internal, who have to connect at some very high charge speeds, like the Porsche Taycan, 270 kilowatts, connecting to multiple different chargers operated by numerous different charge operators. There's something like 35 or 40 or 42 different communications that happen from the minute you plug your car into a charger to when it actually starts charging. Now, a lot of those are very quick and simple. They're not, you know, but there are some important steps along the way. There are several key moments in that communication that happens between your car and the charger. But there's tens of, I think it's like 35 or 40 odd. I think I did an interview at one point with a charging engineer that said, look, the things that happen between a car and a charger are fabulously complicated. And when you bear in mind all the different people making cars, bringing in all those different things, and all the different charging manufacturers, all operated, there's companies that make the hardware, all the networks that bring them in, even networks that are new, like Electrify America, like Ionity here in Europe, they mishmash with different hardware. So they don't all use the hardware from one different maker. They're buying, oh, some from here and some from there. And it's like a miracle that our cars even charge compared to what Tesla do. It's everything themselves. There is somebody in the company that you can pick the phone up to say, how does this work? Like, I'm doing this bit, what do you do there? So it's a challenge for anyone who's not doing it that way. And of course, it's harder to do it Tesla's way. There you go. Let's talk about the Model Y here in Europe. Tesla has updated its Model Y delivery timeline, hinting that Giga Berlin will be in operation mid-2021, says an Electrek report. For many months, I've been nailing my colours to the mast. Customer cars coming out in June. There you go. You can hold me to account when I'm wrong. That's updated from... So the online design studio used to say 2021, but now it says mid-2021. In October last year, Elon Musk revealed the Model Y at Giga Berlin will be the first to have the integrated structural battery pack. It'll be made with 4680 cells, which are bigger than the current ones. The actual cell dimensions are larger, which means they hold more energy and can discharge their energy quicker as well. The integrated battery pack would also mean the introduction of a single piece front end, a single piece rear cast end, says Drive Tesla Canada. There's a lot of new technology to introduce and ramp up in a short amount of time. Since the targeted date is only about 5 months away, Tesla could be planning to import Model Ys made at Giga Shanghai. Wouldn't be the first time that it's done something like that, as the automaker began exporting Model 3s to Europe last year from China. You know, we'll wait and see. Tesla has, I made this point on Friday's Inside EVs video podcast, of which I'm one of four people on. Tesla have never said that Berlin will only make 4680 Model Ys. They have said the Model Ys coming out of Berlin will be made with the cells from the pilot line in California, shipped over to Germany, that it'll have a single, because they're not going to be making the cells in Berlin yet. Single piece front, single piece rear, structural pack. They've said that. But they've never actually said the phrase, we will not be making 2170. That's the cell, if you're new to the podcast. It's the slightly smaller cells, which come from many different suppliers. We will not be making that in Berlin. Now, look, logically, I don't think it makes any sense. You know, logically, why would you make two Model Ys that under the skin are entirely different? But I'm just saying, the possibilities there, or the fact that they could be bringing them in from Shanghai or even the US to bolster the US market, the European market, sometime this year. Reminder, we haven't got Model Y, and actually here in the UK and Ireland, right-hand drive, I can't order one. It just says join the mail. It says stay updated. In other words, join the mailing list. It could be next year. We'll see. Let's talk about Genesis, which is part of Hyundai and Kia. Only been a couple of days since a report broke the Genesis EV naming structure. Now, one of the Autoblog spy shooters has captured one of those vehicles, the GV70E. A vehicle is an all-electric version, a crossover version of the GV70. Now, I'm not very familiar with the Genesis lineup, so I need to familiarise myself for their combustion line, because they're just going to add an E onto the end of their names. A number of visual elements gives this testing car away as an EV. Solid grille, blanked off, no cooling, and a tiny slit in the centre for a camera. The EV seems a good fit for the recently announced EGMP platform, the eGIMP, that will underpin all of the new Hyundai, Kia and Genesis. All one company. Products. The even smaller electric Genesis crossover that was seen the other day is also taking advantage of the platform. It's unclear when the GV70e will debut, but Hyundai has promised to launch 23 full EVs over the next 4 years. That's mega. And so we watch that one. And finally, why legislation works. Love them or hate them, we need politicians to do their job. And actually why setting the rules does a really big job, with 2020 seeing the emission regulations tightening up. Manufacturers were scrambling to meet the EU standards at the end of last year, contributing to total plug-in registrations exceeding 500,000 units in the last quarter alone of last year in Europe. Well, 2020 lived up to its claim of being the first genuine year where EVs moved on from being the low-hanging fruit, or the slow-hanging fruit lane, to the mainstream fast lane, narrowly failing to miss a pre-COVID forecast of 770,000 units, says Electrive, thanks to newly phased-in EU fleet average targets. Now, this is all to do with CO2, by the way. So every car that a car maker sells, looking at the entire CO2 emitted across the entire fleet. There are some exceptions in 2020. They're phasing it in. They also get some allowances for the biggest, heaviest SUVs, the most polluting, in other words. They get some exemptions. European volumes more than doubled last year of EVs from previous levels of fully electric vehicles. Plug-in hybrids are also a critical strategic tool in meeting the CO2 fleet average, because the way that the WLTP test cycle works, the way that the European test cycle works, it does, I think it's fair to say, flatter plug-in hybrids because it assumes that people charge them. I don't think you can make that assumption. I know plenty of people who own plug-in hybrids, and they are fully charged every night. They are tip-top. They are doing all of their electric miles. But I bet there's a ton of people that don't. They simply bought them because they got a tax break or something. Now, if you combine both the plug-in segments, Western European sales surpassed China for the very first time. Actually, it beat China by 90,000 units across the entire year. The start of production from Tesla's European facility this year will double Tesla's volumes, potentially. Volkswagen's ramp-up of their EVs, the ID range, with an annual capacity of 330,000 units expected at the end of this year. Full capacity expected at the end of next year. That's 900,000 units, if you include the two Chinese factories as well. So it's proof there that the legislation which was put in place here, let me explain it to you. I won't drone on too long about the lawmakers here in the EU, but what they did was say to the car makers, you'll be fined very heavily for beating or by exceeding the CO2 limit we give you for the fleet. And like I said, there's some nuances, some exceptions, but it's broadly around 100 grams per kilometer. Now, so many of those car makers held back EVs in 2019. So many of them said, oh, there's a 12-month waiting list. And then magically in January last year, oh, we found some down the back of the sofa. Yeah, we can deliver it to your house now. Are you in? So that was slightly frustrating. But and then largely the floodgates opened. So those 12-month waits to get the new, you know, Kona, the e-Niro, they magically disappeared. But well, of course, we should also point out there was increased production that went along. That's the official reason why, come January last year, oh, we can deliver your car now. There's not a 12-month wait. So they did not want to sell you an EV in 2019, all the car makers. They really wanted to sell you one in 2020. And VW missed it by a smidge, but really, most of them hit. Fiat Chrysler, before it merged with PSA, Group PSA, and got called Stellantis. Before they were called that, they did do a pooling thing with Tesla, so they paid Tesla, whatever it is, 1.2 billion euros to avoid the fine. So to get Tesla's credits rather than paying that fine to the regulators. So proof that it seems to work. Now, those restrictions get tighter this year and continue to get tighter, but they are being reviewed in the middle of this year for the next period that goes to 2030. And I'll bring you a Saturday special on that to demystify it a bit with some experts who can explain it far better than I can over the next couple of weeks, because there's some big decisions that those lawmakers need to make and a few loopholes that need to be closed as well. Hey, I'll stop now because I'm aware that I'm holding you up while I talk about legislation, but it's really important, and it's totally changed the EU market. Now, like I say, beating China, now the world's number one EV market, because the car makers had to get on with it and do it. Okay, question of the week this week, asking you about your how it started and how it's going. EV stories, please. My address, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, there are 984 shows in the archive. The blog, evnewsdaily.com, or ev.news, goes to the same place. Thank you for everyone that listens and supports the show. Thank you to everyone who supports on Patreon. I am amazed that it continues to grow through COVID, which pretty much sucks for many people. I'm surprised. I thought that more people would, you know, stop, but people continue to join. And that is, you know, surprising, and I feel bad about asking. But hey, you know, it's there. The podcast will always be free. If you want to support it financially, It's how we fund it. So thank you very much to everyone there. And our premium partners, getting your daily mention, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard Simons at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs here in the UK. rsev.co.uk. Have a great day. Catch you tomorrow. And do remember, there ain't no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.